We have two primary scriptures this morning. You'll find them both in Matthew. The first one is Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27. And that is on page 974 in the Pew Bible. Using the large print, it's on page 1529. The sermon is entitled, Taxes, a Touchy Subject. Chapter 17, starting the 24th verse. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." Then Matthew 22, starting the 15th verse, it's on page 979 in the Pew Bible, 1538 in the large print. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius. He asked them, "Whose portrait is this and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy, inspired, inerrant word, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning void. We pray for God, the Holy Spirit, to ready our minds, our eyes to see, our hearts to be molded by your word. Do not let this preacher get in your way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Taxes, a touchy subject. Well, Benjamin Franklin has often been quoted as having said, "In this world, nothing can be certain except death and taxes." Anybody hear that?
Yes.
So maybe old Ben had just read these passages. Well, it might seem like I'm making a leap of logic because death isn't specifically mentioned in what I read. But remember, context is very important. The two previous verses right before the temple tax scripture are these. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, Jesus, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. So Jesus is talking about his coming death. And the next thing you know, he's being confronted with the temple tax obligation. And not in a very nice way either. And the way the question is put to Peter, there is an implied accusation. Is your teacher a tax dodger? In the second scripture, we have Jesus' world famous saying, widely known even among non-Christians, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." The Pharisees' question about taxes was a setup, a deliberate trap. They start by complimenting Jesus, maybe to catch him off guard, and then they slyly pose their question. If Jesus responds that the Jewish people should definitely pay taxes to Caesar, the people will be upset with him. They hated paying taxes to Rome. not only because of the financial burden, not only because it was taken sometimes by force, but because there was an inscription on the coins that referred to Caesar as the divine one. So this was blasphemous for a Jew to even have such a coin, right? Because it was against what they're taught in their faith. Now, on the other hand, if Jesus said the people should not pay those taxes, then he could be considered an insurrectionist. He would be subject to arrest by the Roman authorities. Yes, taxes are a touchy subject. They were in Jesus' day, and they still are today. Now, last Sunday was Easter. Easter is probably my favorite day of the year. Well, this year, Easter was followed by my least favorite day of the year. Tax day, right? Right. Normally, our federal and state income taxes are due on April 15th, but because that was Good Friday, tax day got moved to Monday. I don't like doing my taxes. They're way too complicated. And I don't like having to pay for a new version of TurboTax every year because they change the tax laws every year. And I didn't like paying a certified public accountant to do my taxes when I owned a small business either. And I don't like how my tax dollars are spent. But probably all of you are very happy to pay your taxes, right? There are federal taxes, state taxes. Many cities like Philadelphia have their own taxes. There are income taxes, property taxes, sales taxes, excise taxes, inheritance taxes, and on and on.
Gasoline taxes.
Surely you are all very happy paying all your taxes. Well, let me explain about the temple tax. It was part of the Jewish heritage, and it dated back even before the temple. You find the answers in Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16. And again, as always, these scriptures will be on the website tomorrow for this sermon. Then the Lord said to Moses, when you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. Then no plague will come on them when you number them. Each one who crosses over to those already counted is to give a half shekel according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerahs. This half shekel is an offering to the Lord. All who cross over, those 20 years old or more, are to give an offering to the Lord. The rich are not to give more than a half shekel, and the poor are not to give less when you make the offering to the Lord to atone for their lives. Rich or poor, you're to pay this half shekel. Everybody pays the same amount. Receive the atonement money from the Israelites and use it for the service of the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting was the tabernacle, the predecessor of the temple. It will be a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord, making atonement for your lives. This is a very important connection to our scripture that we're studying. This payment must be paid to the Lord as a ransom for each life. Other modern translations say for each soul. This offering to the Lord is to atone for your lives. Then atonement is mentioned twice more here. Knowing what we know today by the blessing of our New Testament and the record it provides of Jesus' life, it seems absurd that Jesus should pay this tax. There was no atonement necessary for Jesus. Instead, he was the vehicle by which atonement was attained. Let me give you two scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in the 5th verse. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in his proper time. Romans 5:11. This is the King James. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. In modern translations of the New Testament, reconciliation is often used as the word to replace atonement. Jesus has made us right. We've been reconciled in the eyes of God. On the spiritual level, Jesus not only didn't need to pay the temple tax, in fact, he paid it all. He paid it for Peter, and he paid it for each one of us. Now, you may find it hard to believe. You know how I don't believe in coincidence. This is a pretty amazing coincidence, I think. But on April 18th, Monday, tax day, my devotional was about the hymn, Jesus Paid It All. So I just wrote that on the top of my tax form, Jesus Paid It All, and I sent it in.
No, visit.
Yeah, you don't want to mess the IRS, right? No, I didn't do that. So this hymn, Jesus Paid It All, was by Elvina Hall. The scripture used in the devotion was Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. It has been stated that all religious systems can be spelled with just two letters, D-O. Do. The gospel of Christ, however, is spelled with four letters, D-O-N-E, done. This hymn text, written by the laywoman named Elvina Hall, speaks poignantly to this basic truth, which is the very basis of our Christian faith. Jesus paid it all, right? Mrs. Hall wrote those words one Sunday morning while seated in the choir loft of the Monument Street Methodist Church in Baltimore, Maryland, supposedly listening to the sermon by her pastor. Now, I know we never had that problem here, right? But, so she's in the choir loft. She's supposed to be listening to the pastor, the Reverend George Schrick. And one can imagine a conversation something like the following after service. Pastor Schrick, I must confess that I wasn't listening too closely to your message this morning. Sometimes when people ask me questions, I can tell that too. Because you see, once you started preaching about how we can really know God's love and forgiveness, I began thinking about all that Christ has already done to provide our salvation. Then these words came to me, and I just had to get them down on paper. And the only paper I could find at the time was the flyleaf of this hymnal. So I scribbled the words in the hymnal. Are we allowed to write in the hymnals? No. Shirley says we're not supposed to do that. The pastor recalled, this is pretty amazing, that the church organist, John Great, had just previously given him a copy of a new tune that he had composed, which he had titled, All to Christ I Owe. To the amazement of all, they soon discovered that John Great's tune fit perfectly with Elvina Hall's words scribbled on the flyleaf page of the hymnal. Since its first published appearance in 1874, this hymn has been widely used in churches, especially for the communion services. Here are the lyrics. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's lamb. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, and of course the chorus, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Praise the Lord. The idea of Jesus making payment and taxes got me thinking about money. And I've been hearing a lot about cryptocurrency, but didn't know much about it. How many of you are experts in cryptocurrency? How many have heard of cryptocurrency? Okay. Well, I'm glad that you've heard of it. All right. So I didn't know much about it. So, of course, I asked Mr. Google, one of my best friends. I said, what is this about? And the reason I mention this will be clear in a minute. So cryptocurrency isn't real money in that you cannot put your hands on it. It's digital money. It serves the same purposes as all money. It's a medium of exchange. There are numerous different cryptocurrencies, lots. They are not tied to one country or government or banking system. They are intended to facilitate international monetary exchange without the encumbrances of using money changers or establishing exchange rates. Now, for a very simplistic example, I'm going to use Facebook. Did you know there's a cryptocurrency on Facebook? It's called stars. On Facebook, you can buy stars, and then you can send stars to people. For instance, if you want to support someone that does live streaming on a subject that you're interested in, you can send them stars on Facebook with just a couple of clicks. People could actually send Emmaus Church stars on Facebook for our weekly service live stream. Hasn't happened yet, but they could. And cryptocurrency is becoming more and more commonplace in a part of our economy. You can even buy and sell a particular cryptocurrency itself, kind of like playing the stock market. It's now part of our vernacular. The crypto.com arena is where the Los Angeles Lakers and Clippers and Kings and Sparks professional teams play their games. So, of course, the IRS is concerned. Here's an excerpt from an article on The Motley Fool. Recently, the Internal Revenue Service won a court case against cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase, maybe you've heard of Coinbase, that required the exchange to turn over information on 14,355 users who, between 2013 and 15, exchanged at least $20,000 worth of Bitcoin. While the IRS primarily sought this info to go after possible capital gain tax evaders, the bigger idea here is that these transactions aren't as anonymous as you'd think. Yes, taxes are a touchy subject. Well, I know that was a long setup, but here's why I shared it all. As I said, last Monday, one of my devotions was the hymn, Jesus Paid It All. And then I spent hours finishing up my taxes, writing out my check. I'm always writing a check. And going to the U.S. Post Office to mail it, and just to put a little salt on the wound, I have to put a stamp on the envelope to send it back to Uncle Sam, right? And then I had chosen today's scriptures, and I did a little studying on them, and then I read about cryptocurrencies because I had received an email about them, and I was curious, right? So then I went to bed and tried to sleep. A little after 3 a.m. Tuesday morning, I woke up, and I was thinking about all these things when the Holy Spirit gave me a word. It's a new word. You might say, I coined a new word. And the new word is cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency. Jesus paid it all with cryptocurrency. It's not hard money you can hold in your hand. It's not digital money. Cryptocurrency is Jesus' blood, sweat, and tears shed on the Calvary cross. Cryptocurrency was the only way to pay the wrath of God for the totality of human sin. There's nothing more valuable than cryptocurrency. Jesus gives a different but related reason to Peter for why Jesus is not obligated to pay the temple tax. Kings of the earth did not require their sons to pay duty or taxes. And the Son of God, Jesus, says he is exempt. Not only that, but the temple is his father's house. Remember that from when he was a boy. He called it his father's house. It was also the center of the sacrificial system. And we know today that Jesus' sacrifice was the superior and final sacrifice. No sacrifices needed after that. So why did Jesus agree to pay the temple tax? In order to not give offense. We sometimes forget that Jesus was a Jewish man and subject to Jewish law. He was a man without sin, but still part of the Jewish culture and community. Jesus wanted to set a proper example, and this was not the only instance. Remember when Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist tried to discourage him, say, it's not necessary. You should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. But Jesus said, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. He was setting the example for all of us. And Jesus set the example for us on the cross and called his disciples, us, to take up our crosses and follow him. And Jesus faced every temptation that we faced and yet resisted the enemy. The parallels to paying tribute to Caesar are plenty. We as Christians are to be good citizens. We are to set a proper example and not cause others to stumble, to not give offense. Romans 13, 6 and 7. This is also why you pay taxes. The authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 7. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes are on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. You see, we must reframe our thinking. I must reframe my thinking. I am to pay my taxes wholeheartedly, as if I am serving the Lord, not men, not the IRS or the government, as if I am serving the Lord. Until what Caesar demands is contrary to God's word and will. Acts 5:29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." Jesus demonstrated his divinity through the method by which he paid the temple tax. Peter goes fishing, and the first fish caught has the proper coin in his mouth. You could argue it was through his divinity that he saw into the hearts of the hypocritical Pharisees and escaped the trap by supernatural wisdom, or it could be that Jesus navigated through the trap because of experience in a mind untainted by sin, a perfect example for us. Preacher James A. Wallace has a unique, interesting, and I believe a valid perspective, which I will paraphrase. By paying the Roman tax, they would be giving Caesar's own image back to Caesar, right? His image is on the coin. Paying the tax brought them roads and security, a society of law and order, which is the purpose of good government. Caesar created the coin and it had his image upon it. Now, consider Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. In a nutshell, we are God's coins. Thought that was kind of strange at first too, right? We are God's coins, God's currency, God's due. And that is what God wants a return on, the divine image that is in us, in me. Our hearts, our minds, our wills, our love, our bodies given as a sacrificial offering. That's the challenge, isn't it? All of us carry God's image to the places we live and work and study and play. We have been imprinted, just like money, with God's spirit who dwells in us. And who can do more in us than we ask for that we have asked for or imagined? According to Jesus, we should think of ourselves as God's ready cash. And if it's true that money is power, surely this money is. Out of such wealth, a kingdom can be built. God's kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, Almighty, all-knowing, may it be so. May we be more concerned about your image than our own. May it be your image that shines like a brand new coin. And let us share it, spend it for the kingdom's sake. Lord, we just ask that we honor you with the way we live, that others would see you, see the Lord Jesus, his light, his goodness, his love, in every aspect, every sphere of our life. And we know this is only possible through God, the Holy Spirit. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen.